It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And it's a Friday morning, February the 9th, another lightning fast week that is nearly over. And good luck if you are looking at properties this coming weekend. Of course, many people at this time of the year, they are on the move, aren't they, from one property to another. Or perhaps it's a first-time home purchase for you. If that is the case, pretty exciting if you can make the numbers work and snare a property deal that sees you entering the real estate market in 2024. So if you're any one of those, good luck this coming weekend. Well, this morning we are taking a look at management rights or management letting rights. What are they? How does this all work and how does it all fit together? Well, in essence, management rights encompass two primary functions: on-site caretaking, which involves maintaining common property, and on-site letting, which entails renting out units on behalf of property owners. Additionally, in many instances, management rights also entail ownership or access to associated real estate, such as manager's residence, office space, or reception area. And this morning we are going back into Brisbane and catching up with Nick Buick, who is the founder of the On-Site Manager. And good morning to you, Nick, there in Brisbane. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
Good morning, Craig. Thanks a lot for inviting us on the show.
Now, did I get that right with that preamble setup? Have I explained that correctly to the listeners?
Pitch perfect. Yeah, that's pretty much the long and short of it.
Okay, great. Now, you've been doing this for, I think, 19 years, you were saying. So no doubt when you started, things were not as sophisticated as where it is today.
Yeah, that's right. When I got involved with management rights and started building the portal, there was no portal for a start. So yeah, it was a much simpler time. Management rights typically were owned by your sort of mum and dad. Often they were ex-public servants who, you know, got a golden handshake and decided to see out the last of their sort of working days mowing the lawn and showing people through the complex. That's changed quite a lot over those years. These days, there's a lot more sophistication in terms of the management rights investors that we see.
Okay. And I think that most people, Nick, probably won't realize that most of the management rights are there in Queensland.
That's right, Craig. There's about 4,000 management rights in Australia. In fact, there's 4,027 schemes nationally registered, to be exact. And probably around 3,000 to 3,500 of them are in Queensland. So the vast majority exist in Queensland, probably due to the legislation that exists in Queensland as opposed to the southern states. We have our laws are quite different up here in terms of management rights.
And what sort of happened? Can you track it from, let's say, prior to COVID in terms of how many of these you had for sale? Did COVID make a dent in your business or did it go the other way? What happened?
It made a very big difference. If you can consider that probably around half of the management rights that exist are in short stay and holiday type complexes, resorts and so forth, their financials were decimated during COVID, as you can imagine. So, you know, when you're selling a management rights, you need solid financials, at least 2 years of accountant check financials to make sure that you stack up for due diligence. And that just wasn't possible. So a large number of those management rights were removed from the market. There was around 1,600 management rights for sale prior to COVID, and that dropped to around about 200 during COVID. And now it's picking up again. We're sitting at 599 management rights for sale as of this morning. So, yeah, sitting around 600.
Wow. So you've really gone the other way compared to traditional real estate.
Sort of. So yes, in terms of the actual management rights for sale, the management rights did well through COVID, particularly when you look at the rentals and what's happening with the rental market nationally at the moment with our housing crisis, they didn't actually suffer particularly badly. It's more that their financials just didn't stack up. So, you know, they had to sort of put contingencies in place, and their typical revenue was anything but over the COVID period. So it was more for their due diligence. It's what affected those sales. But in terms of their performance now, like, the rental market is crazy. The residential sales market is crazy right now. So yeah, they didn't particularly suffer, but it just made it very difficult to sell those assets.
All right, so that is Nick there in Brisbane. We will come back in just a moment. We will talk more about the management rights, the different parts and elements in a moment.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews.
Well, if you are relying when it comes to buying your next property on stage 3 tax cuts, Rate City has crunched the numbers to tell us this morning that if you are a single earner earning $65,000, your current borrowing capacity is just over $308,000. With the tax cuts, that goes up to $321,000. If you are single and earning $100,000, currently your borrowing capacity is $462,000, and that is going up to $483,000. Let's have a look at a couple that is earning $100,000 plus $65,000. Your current borrowing capacity is almost $755,000. And that increases to nearly $789,000. That's a change of $33,000. And if you are a power couple earning $150,000 plus $100,000, currently you can borrow about $1.1 million. That'll go up to $1.2 and change, and a difference of $57,000. So there's just a few of the numbers interesting to have a look at this morning.
Explore new property destinations where you could live with exclusive interviews covering real estate news and market insights.
And it is a Real Estate Friday. Thank goodness for that. Heading towards another weekend. And we are talking to Nick there in Brisbane, talking about these management rights. And I just wanted to sort of step over, Nick, some of the different elements, because there are key elements, aren't there, to these management rights for people to sort of get their head around.
Yeah, it's a pretty strange and esoteric sort of thing, particularly in term compared to sort of normal real estate. So unless you're involved with it, yeah, it can be a little bit confusing.
All right, so perhaps let's have a look at maybe the caretaking agreement. How does all that sort of unfold, and how does that inform us in terms of management rights?
Yeah, so there's two main income streams that are combined together to give you the net profit for a management rights when you're looking at one. So the net profit is the total amount of income that the management rights receives. Part of that comes from the caretaking agreement, which is between the manager and the body corporate. In Queensland, it can be up to 25 years, and typically it is. So I think the average caretaking agreement term in the industry at the moment in real time is around 22 years. And you can top them up every year as well. So 25-year agreement between you and the body corporate, which is a big old list of things that you have to do to maintain that building, you know, everything from trimming the hedges to letting the elevator service guy in to whatever's outlined in your agreement. So those things were 25 years. The remuneration will be outlined on that as well, how much the body corporate will pay you. Often it will be set to CPI, so it will increase with inflation. That is pretty standard and consistent income. You can count on that. It's an agreement. As long as you do the things in the agreement you have to do, that's the income that you get paid. And then there is the other part of the income that you get, and that is from commissions, essentially. So when you're managing lots in the scheme for the owners, you get paid a commission, maybe 7% rental commission for managing those lots. So, you know, finding tenants for them, fixing the dishwasher hose when it pops off, all that sort of stuff that goes along with any sort of property management. And that income obviously is performance based. So the more lots that you can get under management, the more income you're going to make there.
And what about the letting business, which empowers the manager to oversee rentals within the complex? Or is that what you're just talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So that's the letting side of it, of the management, right? So they have two sides. So one of them is the caretaking, looking after the building itself. And the other one is the letting, which is looking after owners in the scheme who want to have investment properties in the scheme, basically acting like a normal property manager, except usually they'll live on site there.
And what about the third component?
Well, that would be the lot itself. So the value of the management rights, say a management rights is $1 million to buy those management rights. It might be making $200,000 a year in net profit. $100,000 of that $200,000 would be for caretaking, and the other $100,000 might be from management commission. There may also be a lot that's sold with those management rights. So that's basically the apartment that the manager themselves lives and works from. And that lot might be worth $500,000. So your total value of the management rights is $1 million. The business component of it is worth $500,000, and the lot is worth $500,000, giving you the total value. They basically calculate that by subtracting the lot out of that. Its lot value comes off the total value, and then they work out what's called a multiplier. So they work out how many times the net profit goes into the purchase price, and that gives you a multiple. So anytime you're sort of looking to buy management rights, the easiest way to apples with apples compare two different management rights is by looking at that multiple.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, you know, you've got to have pretty good time management or organizational skills if you want to take on a management right. This is really not for somebody who's disorganized, is it?
Well, that's a funny thing. They're often husband and wife teams. So like I said earlier, they are getting more sophisticated now with investors and silent partners and so forth. But at the end of the day, where the rubber meets the road, they're still normally a husband and wife team. And often I'll find that the wife will be the one handling all of the trust account and all of the letting, being organized with all that kind of stuff. And the husband will be the guy out there mowing the lawns and, you know, trimming the hedges and cleaning the pool and doing that stuff.
Yeah, that's the collaboration, I guess, between the husband and the wife. Well, that sort of gives us a little bit of a breakdown this morning on management rights. And thanks so much, Nick, for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast and explaining all of that.
My pleasure, Craig. Thanks so much for having us.
Remember, we are not a real estate company. We are 100% all about increasing your awareness and knowledge for buying and selling properties.
I think it's fair to say that they are committing to higher levels of debt. I think the other thing that is happening is there's probably not as many of them in the market trying to get into the real estate property market.
Yeah, definitely. We are seeing a slight downturn. So data in September quarter 2023 showed that there were about 27,000 first home buyer loans that was approved across Australia, and that's about 1,000 less than September quarter 2022. So back then there was about 28,000 loans that was approved for first home buyer, and we've seen 1,000 less in the space of 12 months. Previously, first home buyer loans on average was 483,000, whereas now it's up to 503,000.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, the Real Estate Podcast.